Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are back. What has brought us back? It's an actual World Cup. It's a proper event. It is David, it is Matt, it is Alan. We are back on our semi-regular podcast, breaking down the Scotland squad, the upcoming games against France, and looking back at the game at the weekend against Italy. Alan, have you got World Cup fever? Have you got the Panini? Got the Panini album?
I actually kind of forgot that warm-up game was coming up. It sort of came out of nowhere, I feel. Especially just because obviously Scotland and Italy, it seemed to be ahead of everyone else starting. So it was kind of this lone match. And on top of that, the game was so bad that if anything, it sort of reduced my sort of like World Cup fever a little bit.
But I feel like the revenue side of it, but I don't know why we had that extra game. It was weird, that standalone game.
Yeah, 50K though. I mean, fair play. I feel like back in the day, that would have got like 10,000 people.
Oh, yeah. I distinctly remember going to like a World Cup warm-up against like the USA in like 2002 and 2003. And it was, like 5,000 people there probably. Matt, how are you feeling it? Is it bubbling in the waters of Stockbridge? Can you feel the World Cup excitement?
Mate, I mean, is it bubbling? Can you think of a better way to christen Scottish Gas Murrayfield than a turgid, rain-soaked, shitty win against Italy? Like that is exactly what they were hoping for when they agreed, when they signed on the dotted line. So, I mean, if that's not going to get you excited for the World Cup, then I think the game's not for you.
Because it absolutely is not. I mean, we'll come back. We'll talk about Scotland versus Italy a little bit, but really looking forward to the real the back-to-back tests against France coming up, where we'll learn an awful lot more about the squad. And at the end, we are going to talk through the 33 men that we would take in our squads as well. But Matt, do we want to start there? Then let's do a little bit of Italy while we're at it. It was the first of four games at Scottish Gas Murrayfield. My God, it sounds so... I miss BT Murrayfield. I never thought that I would miss BT Murrayfield, but they've gone and got probably... Let's do a bit on Scottish Gas Murrayfield, actually. Probably the worst sponsor they could have got. Matt, thoughts?
I know what you mean about missing BT Murrayfield, but...
It rolled off the tongue.
That's the thing. So, but then I think when it first got announced, we probably were thinking it was a bit of a joke as well. So...
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe Scottish Gas Murrayfield bears witness to a few more victories over England, like a historic victory over Ireland, potentially. And then anyone saying, oh, do you remember that day at Scottish Gas Murrayfield? None of this BT Murrayfield nonsense anymore.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm probably grasping at straws.
I mean, like the Hive. I think the Hive is okay.
The Hive at least sounds like it could be like the nickname of a stadium.
Yes.
Because you're like creating a buzz. Sorry. But Scottish Gas Murrayfield just, it really sort of like just reveals the corporate nature of naming stadiums in a pretty brazen way, I think.
Yeah.
I think people are broadly like quite accepting of the fact that obviously the SOU need to make money, and obviously these are one of the ways they need to do it. But it feels like all parties just need to like not force like players to have to say it just because it sounds like so unnatural.
Yeah.
It's like when Xander Ferguson's like, you know, when you pull on that shirt in Scottish Gas Murrayfield, and you're like, he obviously never said that.
I think he said, we can't wait to be back at Scottish Gas Murrayfield.
Like, yeah, that was it.
That doesn't make any logical sense. But obviously he didn't say it.
Yeah, it's all a bit much. I wonder, you could make it the SGM or something like that. Like the MCG or something like that. You could shorten it, it could almost sound all right. But then Scottish Gas aren't getting their bang for their buck, are they? So it's tough.
I don't think they'd be happy with that.
They could lean into it, though. Anyway. Yeah, Scottish Gas Murrayfield. Long live the SGM. But, Matt, you did describe it as a turgid, shitty victory against Italy. 25-13. A lovely brace from Darcy Graham. Josh Bayliss with some nice feet to go over for a third try. And our first proper look at Ben Healy. Pulling the strings at 10. Matt, was there enough in this game to actually tell us anything, or was it a real sort of cobweb shaker, first of the season, first of these summer tests?
Yeah, I'd love to say that there were a lot of lessons learned, but I think it probably was more of the latter. I think, you know, that the squad they picked, some unusual or sort of unfamiliar combinations, and the weather combined with just, I think, overall, like, and time off as well, no game time for quite a while for a lot of those players, like, it was maybe always going to be a bit like that. But then I think, you know, the positives, I thought that Healy in difficult circumstances looked pretty handy and maybe just sort of lived up to his potential of what people are sort of hoping to see from him in both an Edinburgh and Scotland jersey. And he's just a nice option to have. I think he was man of the match in the end. I think it was probably just about right. Darcy Graham, always going to get on the scoreboard, always going to be like busy. It's nice to see. And then I think a few other players in the forwards. Like, I thought Rambo had a pretty good game. I thought actually most of the front row, I thought Skinner was good. And Darge captaining was an interesting selection. And I think overall he was probably the standout forward, and we'll get onto it, but that whole back row selection in the World Cup now is looking really interesting, and it looks as if there's going to be some pretty like difficult conversations with some players. So yeah, overall I think you take the win, a bit of, you know, some game time for various players, but I think we'll learn a lot more from these France games, hopefully.
Just on the, I guess on Healy, I feel like Healy was good at what we know he does pretty well, which is kind of mainly kicking, but also, I guess, throwing his body around. He was actually, you know, quite willing to kind of get stuck in defence, but felt like an attack. There just wasn't really a clear view of what Scotland were trying to do, struggled to get phases together. And then I guess that 9, 10, 12, you know, Ali Price had a relatively poor game. But it felt like between 9, 10 and 12, there was a real lack of cohesion, which I guess appreciate its sort of first match of pre-season. But at the same time, you know, they've been together for quite a long time. So I guess you sort of felt there'd probably be a little bit more to see. But at the same time, you know, ultimately, Ben Healy, not the worst sort of... Is that his first cap at Murrayfield?
I think he came on against Italy at the end of... the last Six Nations.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
So it's his first start.
The new The new caps were Henderson and McDowell.
Yes. Yeah. No, exactly.
Both of whom you would probably think of outside shots, probably not in the 33 when we get there. Good to get them in the mix.
I've heard so many people, both within the SOU, either on like the SOU podcast or in like SOU, sort of when Townsend's kind of talking to the press, and the only player they specifically talk about being a good trainer seems to be Stafford McDowell. There's like so much comments around him that always be really good in training, really good in training. which I don't know. It's kind of an interest. I don't know how much of that's just trying to kind of like build up confidence in what is still like a relatively young player, or whether actually he's really crushing it in training. and obviously then it was a bit sad to see, although he didn't have a particularly poor game, I guess felt like that was kind of his opportunity to really kind of make a mark, and he didn't quite sort of nail it.
I think it's interesting what you're saying about the amount of time they've had together and those players and not sort of showing exactly what they could do on the pitch. And I think the SOU have been releasing all these like training behind the scenes videos in the World Cup camp. When you watch the videos, they look like the All Blacks. Like, I know it's unopposed and stuff, but they look so good. And I know, I guess it just shows that when like the difference when the pressure comes on. And I think the weather made quite a big difference as well. Like, the ball was slippery. And I suppose to someone like McDowell, you've got, like, as you say, Healy, who maybe isn't like a fit, obviously isn't a Finn in terms of how he plays, or even a Hastings, and then Harris outside you, who is, you know, more of a solid defensively minded player. It's difficult for him to show exactly what he can bring. Whereas I suppose if he had someone like Hugh Jones outside him, he could maybe sort of get him to get into the game a little bit more, for instance.
Yep. Well, we'll see if he gets any more game time across this this series. Anything else to note from Italy, or do you want to just look forward into France?
I think, yeah, look forward to France. I feel like, and rightly, everyone's been a bit like, yeah, it was a bit shit, but let's sort of move on. But I do think Italy were a very, very, very poor team, like worse than normal for Italy.
Yeah.
You know, they were properly shit.
It's not their best team, though.
No, I completely agree. And I think just as you sort of try to build a bit of momentum into the World Cup, it would have been nice just to see a little bit more. But appreciate your point. It's Scotland's second team, relatively shit conditions, you know, I said, coming off pre-season. So I don't want to be sort of too critical. But yeah, it's a tad worrying. But we're bringing the A squad to France.
I was going to say, yeah. This is, if that's our B team, Matt, looking at this Scotland team, Showman, Ashman, Ferguson, Gray, Richie Gray, Gilchrist, Ferguson, Watson, Dempsey, Ben White, Russell, Tuipulotu, Jones, Doohan, Darcy, and Blair Kinghorn. Is that as close to full noise as we can get at the moment?
I think so. I think within that, there's maybe a bit of debate around Hooker, and then maybe one of the second rows, and in the back row where Richie's obviously captain and in some people's mind would be a first pick. But I think on the whole, like, that's our strongest team probably.
Yeah.
And I think probably what, like, in 95% of positions most fans would select. And I think there is an argument that given Richie's recent form, as good a player as he is, a Ferguson, Watson, Dempsey back row, I think you can debate the balance and whether, you know, Ferguson's not a six in the same mold as Richie, but maybe you can adapt things there to make that balance work. But arguably it's a better run on side as a result. I think you're maybe with Darge there, for instance, instead of Watson, that's getting your best possible players into the team somehow. So yeah, apart from that, I think it looks pretty nailed on that will be our starting team against the Springboks.
It's interesting. It feels like Dempsey, he obviously had a really strong kind of Six Nations off the bench, has been sort of strong for Glasgow. I wonder if they just see him as the main way, as the best. He's the best forward in terms of getting front foot ball and getting over the gain line. And I just wonder how important that is going to be, especially against South Africa in that first matchup, just to kind of give us a chance of kind of getting Finn and that back line firing. And so I wonder if they want to try and get Ferguson and Dempsey into that starting pack, if possible. So it'd be interesting to see how they sort of work together against ultimately, even though it's a kind of second French pack, it's still half the La Rochelle pack plus Woke, Demba Bamba, and a few others. So it's a pretty A, big, and B, world-class pack that they're up against.
Yeah, and I think reflecting on Ferguson at six, like, you could maybe argue in the last Six Nations where he was arguably his best Six Nations so far for Scotland, like, although he did do a lot of carrying, it was maybe more in the tight. And actually, probably if you look at his stats, they're probably more reflective of a six, like a load of tackles, a load of rucks hit, etc. So maybe actually that balance kind of works. It's not like too much of a change, really.
I guess the issue then is are you happy with Richie at seven on the assumption that Jamie Richie is A, captain, and B, has to start?
Well, I would maybe question that assumption and think that if you're going with Ferguson at six and Dempsey at eight, for instance, then Darge is the man form-wise that would come in. And then I think Watson obviously has just so much credit in the bank that I don't think Richie will miss out. But I think if there's an argument for around having your strongest team out there, that he misses out.
Not misses out on the squad, but just misses out.
Of the starting 15, sorry.
Yeah, starting berth. Yeah.
We're probably overthinking it, and it's just they've moved Fagus into six because Richie's injured. So
well,
they've brought Dempsey off the bench.
Yeah. But I mean, if it works, like, I don't know. I don't think it's the most outlandish thing. But then I suppose you've got to think of the knock-on effect in terms of captaincy and just get very comfortable with the idea that Russell is your captain going to World Cup,
Finny,
which is
Finny Ross, baby. Finn Russell, El Capitan.
It is quite a thought, that.
It's such a good humble pie 15 for Gregor, having to make him captain as well. And having to play Kinghorn at 15 as well. He's like, fuck's sake. Like, all my hard work for the last few years. Looking back at all his comments in the media.
If Adam Hastings doesn't get injured versus Fiji 9 months ago, is Finn Russell captain in this match?
Oh, such a great unanswerable question.
I know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. You don't know whether he would have just been brought back in for the Six Nations or whether Hastings might have sort of continued on. But it's what do you think is Tooney's logic?
I mean,
hug him tight.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously been a vice captain throughout the Six Nations. And I suppose with Hogg dropping out of the squad, maybe he's just the next cab off the rank. I think Gilchrist is playing as well, isn't he?
Yeah, that was what surprised me.
Gilchrist was a vice captain. So,
yeah.
And Gilchrist has captained under Tooney, because I agree, if Gilchrist isn't there and Scott Cummings is in, for example, then there isn't a natural captain to sort of step up. You know, even someone like a Watson hasn't really done much captaincy, but because Grant Gilchrist was in there, I would have assumed that he would have taken the captain's armband and you know, still they would have might have had Russell as a vice captain.
What do you think of the multiple vice captains? Kind of, I think you have one vice captain, is my general view, my traditional view on vice captains. But
I mean, it seems as if these days, like, you've got you probably have like your pack leader and then like your line out leader or whatever it is. So you might as well make them a vice captain.
What are we getting? What's Tuipulotu getting as vice captain? What's he offering?
I mean, it's a hard question, but I mean,
it's an inflationary vice captain environment.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't mind it though.
Leadership and direction, Dave.
Leadership and direction. Is that what he's offering? I'm sure he does.
Yeah. You assume, I guess he's in the leadership group, because I guess they still talk about this like 5-6 person leadership group that they have a lot of the time.
Is he in that?
Don't know. But I agree.
He was one of the group that went out after the Italy game. I know that is a group that he was involved in.
Yeah, leadership. He led them out.
That's the leadership. He led them out. On the Russell thing, in our podcast previously, we talked about the sort of the backroom deal that Finn, Gregor, and Mark Dodson had to do to basically get through the World Cup. And this is it. This is the output of the sauna session.
Sauna.
Yeah, this was clause 8 if Jamie Ritchie is injured.
Yeah, it's written in that he has to get a shot as captain. There you go.
Do you think there is this idea that, obviously, you know, sort of thing, he's like a father now and he's sort of maturing, where Townsend's like, if I give him the captaincy, it sort of like forces him to kind of like really raise his standards? Or do you think, again, just reading too much into it, and actually he is just a natural leader, plays at 10, it makes sense?
I guess, you know, I think every time this sort of comes up, everyone he plays with always says that he works really hard and like has a huge amount of respect. Particularly the French guys that he played with always used to say that about him. So maybe
it does,
it's true.
But then Finn himself chats about how little he does in the gym and how he like eats Skittles.
Yeah.
And he has like a five guys like pre Calcutta Cup. So I'm always a little unsure which direction to go in.
Yeah. I could see him leading from like a tactical perspective and like leading the attack, obviously, and driving them around the pitch. I suppose it's just when the chips are down and there's more of that like just kind of pure leadership required.
Is it a Ben Stokes inspired appointment?
Yeah, possibly. So we're gonna play kind of Toonie ball, what's that?
Toonie ball.
Dodball.
It's Dodball.
Dodball. I like it.
But I guess on that, just thinking about, you know, what style of play Scotland might go with, you know, thinking about that South African Ireland game, I did think whether they might appreciate they've sort of tried to play the fastest brand of rugby in the world and we ended up going out in the group stages in Japan, but I did think they might try and do something a little bit more expansive given the opposition. And I think probably one of the things that deflated me a little bit about the match on Saturday was just how bad the handling was. And I, again, appreciate it's a greasy ball, but at the same time, it was really, really poor. So again, hopefully that's something that sort of picks up a little bit just based on the fact that we've got another game and it's sort of the A team that's going out. Do you want to pick our squads for the Six Nations?
Do you want to look ahead to the France game itself, or?
Sorry, yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself.
That's all right. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I knew a great deal about a lot of the French players.
You were sandbagging the French team, and then I looked at it and I was like, I don't know any of these players, but I'm going to Google them very quickly. half the pack is La Rochelle pack, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very, very good point. I mean, I just think on paper, this is our strongest possible team, pretty much. And the fact that the French don't have Dupont, Ntamack, Fiku, Willemse, Jelonge, Cross, Olivon. And granted, they're still replaced by the depth in France is ridiculous. So maybe that's our level, like playing a second choice French 15, which I think ultimately that's what it is, right? But I think as a result, if we can't beat this French team, I that doesn't necessarily mean we're no hopers in the World Cup, but I think it makes us, I think we should be slight favourites going into it.
I do get that, and I think it is correct. My fear is the French depth is so good, and you remember when the French seconds, even a couple of years ago, played England in like the Autumn Nations Cup and nearly beat them. That I don't like the idea of going in being like, we should definitely win this. I feel like it's gonna be a really, really tough game. And actually, if we do win it, that's actually pretty great.
I mean, I saw someone on Twitter say that it's like a bit of a lose-lose in that we're favourites, and as a result, if we lose, then it's like, well, what the hell are we doing in this World Cup? And even if we win, it's like, well, you beat like a team with a guy who's, is the 13 making his debut?
Yeah, his debut. He played under 26 nations.
Yeah. When we've got a very experienced first string team.
Yeah, no. I think like that French backline, apart from Doulin and Jalabert, is like an average age of 21 and like 3 caps. So it's very fresh.
And we are officially favourites, according to the betting markets. We are 1-point favourites, which is lovely to see.
Which, again, after all we've said, and given that it's at home, is a bit disappointing. I guess maybe you can look at it in the lens of it's quite disappointing.
Yeah.
I've been just looking at the team while you guys have been chatting, and like, it's a very serious starting 15, and actually 80% of the bench is really good. But there's still, and this is the problem with Scotland, there's just that residual 20%. We just can't quite get an absolute full noise 23 together yet. Because I think
who are you talking about specifically? Who are you sandbagging?
Cherry and Batty off the bench are not of a, they're not of that absolute top tier international rugby pedigree, right?
I'd put Nell in that category as well, bless him.
Yeah, but Nell has done it, and he can come on do 20 minutes.
True.
And like, even, I mean, like, I think Ollie Smith's a very good player, but he's very green.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But then you got Cummings, Darge, Horn, Redpath. Yeah, happy with all that. But don't know, man.
That's, you're not convinced about that front row, Dave.
You what?
You're not convinced about that front row.
The bomb squad.
The bomb squad coming on.
Cherry Batty and Nell coming on.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Hopefully pretty solid in the pack. Hopefully pretty solid in the scrum.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. This is a big game for Ashman, I think, in that he's probably... Of the contending hookers, probably the third. If Turner's is the sort of the de facto sort of hooker, where would you put Rambo in that? Probably second, and then Cherry and Ashman sort of knocking around for the third slot.
What we can do is we get to a squad. I probably would have had Rambo at the start, fourth.
Yeah, but I think he's making a bit of a late push.
I think he's making a surge.
I wonder whether it's the starting spot is Turner or Ashman's, and then you probably just have Rambo on the bench.
I feel like Rambo could at a push, and maybe the same with Turner as well. Probably do a stint in the back row.
Yeah. No.
Whereas Cherry, and I think even Ashman probably could. I think Ashman might have even played a little bit of 8 for the under-20s at some point. Whereas Cherry, probably not.
I think what one to consider for the weekend is it's probably going to be raining, or at least have rained during the day. So cool. We might have a similar vibes to last week, where I think it's going to be a slippy ball. So it'd be interesting to see how that pack does against, admittedly, a B pack, but a pretty big and scary pack at that. Especially for, you know, someone like an Ashman, right, who's going to be under pressure. on the line out and maybe doesn't quite have that bulk and size of your normal sort of international hooker.
Well, should we use that as a jumping off point into our squads then for
what is your prediction?
For the game?
Yeah.
I think Scotland will win by I think Scotland will win by 5. But I don't think it'll be a classic. I think we'll get over the line just through having a greater experience and a lot more familiarity in those combinations. Whereas France, I'm sure, you know, full of talent, but that team, that overall selection is pretty green.
Yeah, I can see. I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm nervous that we lose it, and then I'm nervous that we lose it, and then we're sort of really. I'm just, you know, this World Cup is just. I'm trying not to allow myself to think that this World Cup is over before it begins, and we're just sort of careering towards that group exit. But I don't know. I'm really struggling to light that fire and get behind it. But everything you've said has convinced me, Matt. We should win this. If the bookies think that we're favourites, that never usually proves any problem for us. So, why not? Scotland by 6. Let's go. I'm going to like push myself forward.
Did George Gregan not convince you about how dangerous Scotland rugby can be?
I mean, he's not 100% wrong. But I do think for us to put 30 points on South Africa is like, you know, a extinction level event in terms of like sort of the threat level, you know. I think we're talking like a sort of every once in a thousand years, right?
To be fair, I'd say looking at form of sort of South Africa and Ireland, I appreciate obviously South Africa's a lot more recent. I think increasingly our sort of view that South Africa might be the easier game is likely true. You know, they've not been amazing. Yeah. They pumped Oz obviously, but Oz are complete. Not in a great place, but then I feel like New Zealand quite convincingly beat them, and then they just squeezed past Argentina at the weekend, and that Argentina team is good, but it's not that good. Obviously, it'd be interesting to see how South Africa do across the rest of the championship, but it still feels like that game out the gate has got to be the one to go after. And then, as we said, we'll lose Tonga.
Yeah.
How do we want to look at the squads? So it's 33 this year. It was 31 in 2019. Alan, when we were talking a little bit offline, you said that it's getting to 31 is difficult. How did you find getting to 33?
Yeah, I think 31 would have been real tough. I think 33 outside of a couple of sort of edge cases, whether it's like your third tight head prop or even your second fly half, I think it's broadly relatively easy. I've gone for the 19-14 split. So I'm slightly heavy on the forwards, but it feels like off the back of South Africa, Tonga and Romania, and then Ireland, the forwards are going to be having a relatively tough time, especially the southern French heat. So I think sort of stacking up and just going for 3 in loose head, hooker and tight head is probably the right way to go.
I think you're probably right. Matt, out of that 33, how many genuine sort of spots do you think are up for grabs? So like, you know, how many people in the squad do you think are already on the plane? And these sort of warm-up games are more about game time rather than like decision making for Tooney and the rest of the coaches.
Yeah, I think it's probably more the former, that it's pretty settled. I mean, I think if you look at the squad and look at who the bolters would be, probably someone like Cam Henderson, who I just don't think is going to break up that sort of four. Those 4 second rows who've played quite a lot under Tooney recently, and the fact that Skinner, for instance, and even Cummings at a push could play in the back row, like I think he'll probably miss out. I think your third tight head is probably a straight shootout between Sebastian and Walker. I think Sebastian might edge it just because he's a bit more experienced and seems to be a pretty solid scrummager. I mean, I think everyone seems to like Jamie Duobe, but I think White, Price and Horn is pretty nailed on. I just don't, and then I don't think that Stafford McDowell has probably done quite enough to force his way in. I can't really think of many sort of bolters beyond that.
Mm. So Alan, let's start with props then. Are you taking six?
Six props. I've got five definites and then one probable. So my five definites are, which I think we might broadly be in agreement with, Pierre Schumann, Sutherland, Batty, Xander, W. Pinel, five definites, Yavin Sebastian, my probable.
I've got the same.
Yeah.
I actually had Walker in there just because I think the SRU are investing a lot of time in him. And I just think he's fronting up like video campaigns for them online.
Yeah.
I think they've got him pegged as going.
Look.
And Yavin, I don't know. I've never seen him in any sort of content.
If I wanted a long-term investment, Murphy Walker's your guy.
Yeah, but
This is the here and now, and Yavin can hold up a scrum.
Can you imagine opening a packet of stickers and getting a Yavin Sebastian shiny?
Oh, God.
This is so bad.
He was all right when it came on, though. Well, I mean, in the scrum.
In the loose, I think you just say, look, lad, just get your head down. Scrummage, please.
Yeah.
But everything else is a bonus. But he was solid against Italy. That's like no mean feat.
I guess I'm just looking at it through the lens of WP Nell picks up a niggle two days out before the South Africa match. I think you want Yavin on the bench rather than Murphy Walker coming on when the bomb squad from South Africa are coming on.
Yeah.
You know?
imagine Ferguson got injured and it was like Nell and Sebastian against the overall might of that South Africa. Yeah, Nell and Sebastian. Yeah, exactly. tribute act.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's scarier, to be fair.
I think in that scenario, again, you're just going to be like, lads, nothing in the loose. All you got to do is focus on each scrum. That's all we need.
And you can maybe be like the guard defender. That's the only place you can defend.
I know we talk an awful lot about like the issues with like importing players and things like that, but we have had front row issues on front row issues for the whole time we've been doing this podcast. Why have we not been finding more WP nails and things like that to come and fill these gaps? We just can't seem. We've been getting a lot of success behind the scrum, but
well, I guess Pierre Schumann.
and
cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Yavin. a role in some
respects.
Yeah,
respect, I know, but so. Yavin, come on.
Yeah, Yavin's kind of just, I think, someone who, like, I don't think the SAU really knew about. He just happened to be Scots qualified. Didn't they bring over... But obviously the rules have changed now since Schumann. But wasn't Leon De Bruyne, I can't remember if he's loose or tight head, Edinburgh guy, brought over as a potential. But I actually can't remember if he's loose or tight. But I agree. I think that's why they put so much faith in Murphy Walker, because there's not really anyone else who's qualified now.
That like nightmare scenario of like Murphy Walker having to start against South Africa or something like that, or Ireland is quite scary, isn't it?
The two biggest risks for Scotland are Xander Ferguson getting injured or Finn Russell getting injured.
I think you're right.
Those are the two scenarios where we really don't quite have good enough quality to fill in.
Yeah. So that's right. That's our props. We've managed to stumble our way through a discussion on props without any glaring errors, although I'm sure we'll be told about them online tomorrow. Hookers, we've kind of touched upon. Matt, who did you have?
Yeah, I've gone with Turner, Ashman, and Rambo.
Yeah, same for me.
I think Ashman and Turner are your one and two. Turner probably one, Ashman two. But then I actually wouldn't mind seeing Ashman start, I don't think. And then I think Rambo seems to be playing pretty well recently, and like he's quite a nice option to have, I suppose.
Alan, you gonna make the case for Cherry?
No. Cherry's a great man, but he's not in my squad.
Yeah.
If he's there because of injury, I think he's not a bad third choice hooker to take.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Second rows.
Taking four, Richie, Grant Gilchrist, Cummings, and then Skinner is the second row.
Yep, same.
And then I guess in theory, like Luke Crosby can cover if needed.
Has he played in the second row before?
I don't know, if I'm honest. I think so. And I feel like against a Romania, if you had to, you can sort of like make that happen. But it's that was
I don't think he's ever played in the second row. I'm just through a quick Google, it says that Luke Crosby, Rugby World, 10 things you should know about him. He started playing in the second row, but under 18 level switched to the back row, has never looked back. I added that last bit, but.
So yeah. He's got experience.
I feel like Livingston at like under 17, so I don't know.
Strong youth setup, so I think we might be all right.
And you think who's your starting starting second row pairing of Richie Gray and Gilchrist?
I'm still team Cummings.
I want to see Cummings steaming onto the ball and knocking it on in like an early exchange against South Africa, and you're like,
just like the most insane, like out to in 30 meter line,
and then he always bundles it.
Oh, I know, yeah. And he looks so upset when he does every time as well.
I think
Gilchrist will.
He's the line out guru as well. That I think he's pretty important to that team overall, increasingly. So
I thought Richie Gray was the line out guru. Is that in defense? So Richie Gray's like your defensive line out guru and Grant Gilchrist is attacking.
Gilchrist is line out captain. I made that up, but I think I recall that he's sort of like the line-out leader.
Line-out captain is another example of like the inflation of captaincy.
It's the inflationary market, yeah.
Agreed.
handing out these little stickers to people. Back row. Probably
I've gone...
There's a little bit of debate, but not that much, really.
Well, I've ended up picking five, but I think I've probably got room for another. Did you pick six, Alan?
Yeah, I've got six. I've got Richie, Matt Ferguson, Darge, Dempsey, Watson, Luke Crosby.
Sorry, say that again.
Jamie Richie, Matt Ferguson.
Oh, Darge. I didn't put down Richie. That's good to start.
I think obviously, you know, Christie's now injured. The only other one really is Bayliss, who obviously scored a pretty sweet try. But I don't know, it feels like now if you have 31, it becomes a much tougher conversation because you got to probably look at dropping one of Crosby or Watson, you think. But now it's 33, it just feels like a bit of a no-brainer to take all six.
Yeah, I think, as you say, I think Bayliss has always like shown up reasonably well for Scotland, but does tend to be in those sort of Italy or autumn test games. And I think Andy Christie was such a kind of great idea, like coming from Saracens, being able to play across the back line. But I don't think he's quite made his mark. And I also think the players that you've mentioned are all probably overall better than him. So I don't think there's anyone else that I'd really consider there.
Andy Christie's still young. He's only 24. He's got, you know, if he's got time, it's a bit of breakthrough. But yeah, hard to argue with those six, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Your harder discussion is narrowing it down to three.
Yeah. But
the six. Into the back line, White.
Just on that, do you think out of those six, let's strip captaincy away, do you think that the most likely starter is Matt Ferguson?
Probably the most nailed on, yeah.
Either at eight or
six. If you strip, six. Yeah. I'd say increasingly Darge is a nailed on starter.
It's a big game for Watson this weekend to sort of remind us that he is absolutely class.
Yeah, no, agreed. I'm sort of with you, I think, Matt, on Darge. I feel like he just gives us a point of difference, especially against like a big South African or Irish pack. That he can good feet, can get over the ball. Interesting.
Again, purely on content. If you're looking at content, the SOU are pushing Darge as well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like the social media managers are picking the team, but they might be in the room reminding Tooney that they've got a TikTok channel that needs content.
I was wondering whether Darge gets made captain post World Cup. He's starting to look like Sam Warburton. So it's
he does a bit actually.
It's almost like that young sort of generational back row. Obviously, Darge is like 100 times better than Sam Warburton.
Already he's achieved more, you could argue.
Yeah.
he's made a bigger impact on the game already. I would probably go as far as to say.
Scrum halves.
It's tough for Richie, though, like having sort of it was emotional and like obviously probably behind closed doors a little bit like niggly for him to take the captaincy off Hogg in the manner in which it happened to then if he doesn't sort of follow through to be captain for the World Cup and just sort of loses his place. It's a tough like sort of 6 month stretch.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. But I think there's question marks over both his form and whether he is actually that great a captain.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you change your captain just before a World Cup? It's probably not been done that often before. It's definitely never been done by a side that has gone on to like trouble the knockout stages, I don't think.
No.
But Tooney's a maverick, so maybe you got to do something different.
Yeah.
Nines, White, Price, and Horn.
Yeah,
Anyone making a
Dobie
case?
Dobie, once again, Dobie's got like great. He's got an internal push in the SRU. They love him, yeah. I think. He's like a bit of a golden boy. But I think White's on great form. Price, although he's not been playing that well recently. Money in the Bank was playing for the Lions not that long ago. Yeah. And I think Horn just offers something a little bit different and has probably never really let down Scotland. And they're all a lot more experienced. So
you know that Horn is starting against Romania and getting a hat trick.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. Like he's just in that sort of game, he'll be electric.
Yeah, definitely.
Not to say that Jamie Dobie couldn't necessarily do that, but
I think they're slightly different players. But
22. Yeah.
He's got time.
And we think Ben White's he's a starter.
He's a lock.
Yeah. I think he's one of the first names in the team sheet.
No, I think I agree. And then I guess there's a question on who do you want coming off the bench? Is it that sort of pace and dynamism of Horn, or is it sort of Price who brings, I guess these days, a little bit more of that sort of stability? Normally, top tier sort of box kicks, etc. I lean probably towards Horn.
I think.
Yeah,
I don't. It's a difficult one. I think, as Dave was saying, I think Price has still just got that edge in terms of what he's done for Scotland in the not too distant past.
Started tests against South Africa for the Lions, or started one test.
Yeah, no. Happy either way, right?
Tens. So Finn, captain. Who have you gone for your second man, Alan?
I actually changed it just before. I originally had Hastings, and I've changed it to Healy. Mainly because I think I would choose Hastings, but I think Tooney's going to choose Healy.
I think Healy has been... Healy is a strategic venture, you know? I think there's been... They've got him in for a particular reason. I think this is probably it.
He is the old glory of Ireland.
Let's hope he delivers a little bit more ROI.
But... Yeah.
Yeah, didn't they write off like 90% of that investment? So hopefully it doesn't turn out the same way.
I guess my case for Hastings was up until his injury, he was, you know, starting 10, and Tooney himself was fairly happy with it going into matches against sort of New Zealand and Argentina. He was playing fairly well. He's been playing pretty well for Gloucester at 10. I think that Hastings is the sort of player that is never like phased by international rugby. Even when Finn got kind of cut from the squad and he got drafted in for that Ireland match away, he actually played really well in extremely tough conditions, both in terms of like who you're playing against, but also just from a psychological standpoint, you know, coming in, being shipped in for Finn in that environment is really tough. I think he's the sort of player that almost kind of like raises his game kind of like the harder, the bigger the match. And at the same time, I think if Finn does go down, it feels like from a game plan standpoint, Hastings is a much more natural replacement than Ben Healy.
Yeah.
So I think I would go for Hastings if it was my squad, but it does feel like Ben Healy and is going to take up that second 10 spot.
Yeah.
I put Hastings in brackets and then I sort of ummed and ahed. Part of me would prefer to take him. I think if he hadn't had that bad injury against Fiji a year ago, wherever it was, I feel like that sort of like dented just his time in the Scotland squad. Whereas like, you know, I think even 2 years ago or so, you would say he's like the nailed on backup. I suppose whether this is backed up by the stats 100%, I think Healy might be a slightly more reliable goal kicker, which could come into it. And I think
that's likely the case.
Probably, right? I think Hastings' percentage is actually still pretty decent. I think also with like the kind of the versatility through the squad of Kinghorn, for instance, like Hastings obviously play 10 in fullback, but because Kinghorn can do the same, that's not quite as valuable now. So you can kind of afford to take two out and out 10s in Russell and Healy. Well, Russell could play 12, I suppose, and then have Kinghorn as like your other option who probably play the game in a pretty similar way to Hastings if, you know, if it's that in case of emergency break glass situation.
No, again, I think you're, a lot of that makes sense. I feel a little bit bad for Hastings just because, I guess, given all the injuries, you thought he would have got maybe one run at 10 for Scotland. And maybe he'll get the Georgia game, but you'd think they'll probably keep Finn in for the away match in France, especially if France shift to the sort of like their full noise team.
Yeah.
So likely the only chance he might get is the Georgia game at home, which, you know, you're kind of I'm not even quite sure when they're going to be announcing their squads, but sort of feels by that point that I imagine most of the decisions have been made. And again, it's I was going to say it's not the greatest of opposition. Obviously, they beat Wales last year, but yeah, it doesn't feel like he's quite had a chance post that injury against Fiji to really sort of make his claim for that Scott, that kind of second 10 spot.
He must have been pretty pissed off when Healy suddenly emerged in the woodwork as yeah. well. Like, come on.
Come on, man. Just wait till after the World Cup.
Yeah.
Let a brother go to France.
In the centres, I think we were talking offline a little bit. Does Harris, Jones, Redpath, Tuipulotu pick itself?
Yeah.
what else can you say, really?
We obviously chatted about Stafford McDowell, but it feels like you take one of Stafford or Cam Redpath.
Yeah, and Cam Redpath is really proven at that level, isn't he? Or off the back of like a few performances, anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I just don't. I don't think you like gain that much more by putting McDowell ahead of Redpath.
Yeah,
agrees. And I'm probably sort of overthinking it. There is always assumption that like Cam Redpath is like a Tooney type player, and that Tooney, you know, given the fact that he sort of shipped Cam Redpath in for that Calcutta Cup match, you know, clearly has a lot of faith in his abilities and his potential as a 12. So I still think if Cam, and actually he looked relatively good coming off the bench, right, at the weekend. So feels like Tooney is a fan of Cam Redpath, and ultimately if he's firing, he's going to be in that squad. I guess there is a question mark around whether one of Cam Redpath or Chris Harris can break up the Tuipulotu combo.
Yeah.
Likely not, but maybe
I don't think so.
Feels like that's pretty set now.
That'd be pretty set for the first game, I would have thought.
Yeah.
The only way you allow Scotland to maintain the same attacking approach if Finn is playing, then maybe Redpath comes in ahead of Tuipulotu for whatever reason. But I couldn't see Tuipulotu and Harris, for instance.
So I was going to say, is there a chance that you do Redpath 12 and shift Tuipulotu to 13? Does that still give you that kind of like Tuipulotu can still operate as that kind of like hard running center? Possibly don't quite, obviously Redpath doesn't quite have the kind of breaking the gain line abilities of Jones, but then it kind of gives you that second distribution option that maybe we might have lost a little bit with Hoggy leaving. Not sure. Probably trying to force it a little bit, but
yeah, no.
Good to make the case. Good to hear the case.
I think Tuipulotu though gives you obviously the second playmaker, and I think Jones is actually a decent enough distributor unless he's in like a broken play 2-on-1, which he loves to butcher.
He does, but yeah.
But I feel like he's skillful enough and aware enough player to be able to link with a Doohan, for instance, or Darcy Graham.
Yeah, and I guess ultimately you can have Kinghorn coming in from 15, who ultimately you know, whilst he might not have been amazing, he's good enough to play a pretty good standard at 10, so he can kind of come in and act a little bit as that kind of second distribution where needed.
He was amazing. Come on, we all know he was great in that role. Look, let's rewrite the history.
I don't know why people are so scared to put Kinghorn at 12. It's still there. There's still a chat. He's still young enough. 10 hasn't quite worked. 15 doesn't quite work. Wing doesn't quite work. It's the last but obvious option. But I think I'll be left sort of like Abe Simpson just like shouting into the clouds for the rest of my life. So
going into the back three, Darcy and Doohan couldn't be more nailed on. And I had Steyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't really make a credible case for anybody else.
There isn't one.
No, that's the thing.
It does not exist.
And I think that you've got with like Kinghorn and Smith there, for instance, like they could probably play on the wing if needed.
Yeah.
Jones could play on the wing or a fullback if needed. So I think that back three kind of picks itself now, I think.
Yeah, and that's it. Your fullbacks, Kinghorn and Smith, are the only two that are available, really. There's like genuinely no room.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the squad now.
A late surge from Maitland is what we need.
And for some reason, I thought I knew that he might be injured as well. So,
I think he is. I mean, he's not in the current training squad or anything like that. So, either through injury or whatever.
Yeah, it feels like it hasn't been for a while. But
yeah, is there anybody out there that could surprise us? I was looking back at the 2019 squad, and it's like Blade Thompson's in there. You're like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that Blade Thompson time. That was like interesting, but ultimately failed.
I feel like there's quite high hopes. Quite high hopes for Blade Thompson back in the day. But I mean, it's unlikely that they're going to bring in anyone outside of the squad, unless there's injuries, right? No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are a few people on Twitter in the past week or so saying like, are we going to do something rogue and bring in Finn Smith?
Look, there's a 10 slot in Glasgow now. I think that's the jigsaw that's opened up, that's moved.
True, actually.
Very true.
That would be... Oh.
Would Miotti have been on good money?
It does feel as if, like, I presume, like, some sort of transfer fee would have been arranged, right? In order to get him out of his contract.
He only re-signed for Glasgow May?
Yeah, and a transfer fee, if it happened, that's very rare in rugby.
Yeah.
So maybe he saw the writing was on the wall. Oh, it all adds up. Ross Thompson's playing Super 6 now. He also saw the writing was on the wall.
Well, yeah. So is he playing for Ayrshire at the weekend?
Yeah, I think so. It's to get him game time. I'm not saying he's been bitten by Glasgow.
Yeah, yeah. He's come back from injury.
But let's roll with that.
They are basically saying that it's Tom Jordan and Dunkey Weir for Glasgow next season.
And Ross Thompson.
I think Thompson.
Oh, sorry, and Ross Thompson.
After this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not that great.
It's not great. I would make the case it's not great at all.
Miotti saw Spud's Bronco score and was like, get me out of here. Can't be competing with this shit anyway. Is Duncan Weir actually still...
Yep.
In the squad, or is he, you know, he's still part of the squad?
Yeah, I don't think he's even got a Super 6 gig. He's not on like a partnership thing. He's just, you know, that's good.
Duncan Weir is too, he's like, I'm not stepping down. There's no way I'm doing that.
No.
But in the Glasgow release, Gav Harper sort of flagged it up on Twitter. And I'm quoting now, for the coming season, Ross Thompson and Duncan Weir will be the specialist tens, with Tom Jordan providing Smith and his coaching team another option at halfback as well as centre.
All right.
That's a quote from the Glasgow release.
It's a bit strange.
Come on, Dodson, get on the phone. Finn Smith is smarting from his snub from the England squad at the moment. He wants
fire up, fire up the David Lloyd sauna, boy.
But yeah, there is no real, like, there's no sort of like great white hope out there, is there, that might appear over the water to join the squad.
And I don't think there was anything from the under-20s that suggested that anyone's going to sort of suddenly burst onto the scene from the sort of younger age groups in the sort of short term anyway.
No, the under-20s are pretty bad, it seems.
It was annoying that you, after losing to Uruguay in the semis, that Uruguay didn't even go on to win the trophy.
Yeah.
Spain won the trophy, which, to be fair, the silver lining is that
Scotland then get the automatic Europe place. Whereas if Spain had lost the final, we would have had to actually qualify for the second European place in the trophy. Which would have been really bad.
So we're still in. Who would have that been against?
I imagine it'd be like, yeah, your Portugal's, Romania, Germany, because Georgia are in the top one. And then obviously now yes. Spain have been promoted. So yeah, probably Romania, Germany, Portugal.
God. And the worry is that still, I'm not like in this tournament, there's definitely a high chance you lose to one of those teams.
Yeah, well, even they were saying like Japan.
A reasonable chance.
Japan got relegated from the championship, and I imagine they're not going to be like a complete walkover next year, especially versus like the quality of teams that were there this year. You know, there wasn't like a top 15 sort of or top 12 kind of like in rugby nation apart from Scotland. Whereas Japan going down probably feels like it makes it more difficult than it was this year with like Spain and Uruguay. So, yeah. Maybe we need to do at some point a deep dive on the under 20 situation.
Yeah.
Get Kenny Murray on. Get Kenny Murray on. Just be like, mate, what's going on? Just tell us. Just be honest.
Kenny Murray came on in the early days, didn't he, when he was Glasgow assistant?
He did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God, we interviewed Kenny Murray once.
He's one of the earliest ones, like right around the time when like Richard Cockerell called in from his car and was like very quickly like, who am I speaking to and why am I doing this at 8 p.m. on like a Tuesday night?
It's when there was a chance. I think the SRU were sort of like, there's a chance that these guys are going to become something, and they were testing us out. I'm sure we had to phone Kenny Murray on his home phone. I was like, this is wild. How are we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did actually. Yeah, that's what it was.
We still got Kenny Murray's home number somewhere.
Must have it somewhere.
I quite like that. Kenny's like, nah, do the home line.
Yeah, he's like, not getting my mobile. You can have the home phone.
No, we're like, can we drop him a WhatsApp? He's like, only got a home phone, no mobile.
I'm looking at that 2019 squad. Like, the fact that Gordy Reid was still going on and. Was bad. 17 of the 31 who went to Japan are in the sort of the 43 and likely to be going, I would say, within the 33.
17, do you say?
Yeah, 17 of 31. So it's actually it's about 50% sort of turnover.
Should we try and name it, Matt?
Yeah. So this is 17 of the confirmed squad from. That actually went to Japan versus the ones that are still involved in the, I guess what it is, like the 43 or whatever the number is that are training at the moment.
All right, I'll open with Xander.
No.
So that's 1-2.
No, went Grant Gilchrist.
Yeah.
Sutherland?
No.
No.
Oh, really?
Was his big break like the first Six Nations
yeah, it was,
after?
It was when Pete De Villiers came in. It was like, why have you not been picking this guy?
Yeah.
It would have been Dell, Reed, someone else.
Rambo captain.
Rambo was in the mix. Yeah.
Jamie Ritchie
was there.
And then Watson.
Yeah.
Matt Ferguson. Is he there?
Nope.
Was he not there?
Ooh. Pricey.
Oh, George Turner would have been there, right?
Yes, George Turner.
Horn was there.
Harris.
That was there. So Finney Harris, was there.
Finn.
Hastings.
Kinghorn was there.
All right, so that's
Hogg. I think Darcy Graham. Darcy Graham was there as well. I'm pretty sure.
Darcy was there. So you've got 13 on my count.
Cummings?
Yep.
Kyle Stein?
I'm trying to work out which ones you've not said.
So I...
Doohan wasn't around then, was he?
I'm concerned I got my original match.
I've got it down for 15. Turner, McAnally, Zander, W. Pinnell, Gilchrist, Scott Cummings, Jamie Ritchie, Hamish Watson, Ali Price, George Horn, Finn Russell, Adam Hastings, Chris Harris, Blair Kinghorn, Darcy Graham.
Yeah.
Because Hugh Jones didn't make it in the squad, did he?
I think I probably counted Horn, which takes you to 16. It's not Horn, Hogg.
Hoggy takes us to 16.
So I think 17 is maybe wrong. There's a chance. There's always a chance.
Well, who's the 17th one that we're missing on your books?
I mean, I just counted them up and written 17 of 31, so I was ill prepared for it to become a quiz.
Dave Cherry.
Interesting quirk of when they announced the squad, they did a star next to the cap number to say denotes World Cup experience, which is a sort of a denomination that I just thought was really weird. Now looking back on it.
Just inflation.
Again. It used to just be you got a cap and that was it. And that,
yeah,
you
know, yeah.
It's like summer series experience. Oh, great, cheers.
But even that squad, you look back at it and like there's barely any surprises in it based on what 2019 was. I remember like Blade Thompson, but
yeah.
Duncan Taylor. Yeah, well, there you go. That 29 squad that delivered a World Cup exit in the group stages.
Yeah,
are we still collectively of the view that we're out in the we're home and hosed after the group stages?
Yes, I think you've got to go in with that as your base assumption.
My hope is building just ever so slightly. I'm trying not to let myself do it, but
it's bad. It's
George Gregan in the vid. I was like, oh, Georgie boy. And then did you see the interview that Finn did? And I think the headline was in BBC Sport, at least. And it was like, Scotland are going to, I think he said, go hot. Was that what the phrase was?
Yeah.
And well, don't worry, we'll like go hot for a couple of games and get hot. Yeah, that's what it was. Get hot. It sounds like a kind of Kevin Hart film or something. But he's like, get hot and we'll get out of the pool. And I was like, oh, A, I was like, why the fuck did you say that? And B, like, all right, cool. Let's get hot. I like it.
I'm up for getting hot.
But I still think if I had to put my money on it, probably not.
Yeah. It is a big ask. It's a big ask. But it'll be interesting to see. First step is beating France B this weekend. If we can't beat France B, we're not beating South Africa A.
Yeah, away.
yeah, away. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's got to be the way that we've got to look at it that way. But that should be good. I'm quite, I wasn't, and the Italy game kind of passed me by, but I'm quite looking forward to watching this one, actually.
This feels like
World Cup warm-up proper.
Yeah. Mm. And then Scotland away at France next week is your classic like 8/9 PM kickoff, like the Saturday night match, which is great because like, especially now that we've all got kids, it's like kids are down, which is actually like a much like, rather than having to force a scenario in which I have to ignore my daughter, like in that scenario.
Moana sleep. On the iPad.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, exactly. So, no, be good.
Looking forward to it. Well, we will be back. We are, the tales of our death have been greatly exaggerated. We will be back throughout this World Cup season. You can follow us on Twitter, as always, at Thistle Rugby Pod. I have just today re-downloaded TikTok and to make some sick memes. So get those on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Matt, you thinking about a limited run of the newsletter or...
I have been thinking about it this week, actually. So I'm not sure when exactly, but I will. Yeah, it's been percolating in my mind.
So there you go.
There might be something there. So a little teaser there, just in case. Subscribe over on Substack, Thistle Rugby Podcast. And hey, you might be surprised by a little newsletter at some stage, but we will be there. And look, on this journey, Scotland for the Cup.
Shall we do a review of the Hoggy career next pod?
Yep.
Let's stretch out a bit.
Yeah. Keep the fans coming back for more.
gotta keep them coming out. See what crops up. But anyway, we will be back soon enough. One and done, Matt. Look, one cut. You don't even need to edit this.
Lovely.
You just stop now.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.